morning, everyone. I'd first like to say, and this is the, I don't know, third or fourth time I've heard them sing, these people are just amazing what they do with music. I'm going to open on a sad note this morning. Something I heard on the news before I came here. There was a young lady in Fort Worth who was babysitting her nephew. And she had somehow left the front door open. One of the neighbors saw that and called the police to come by for a welfare check. The young lady was sitting in front of the TV playing games with her nephew, and she heard the police as they came through the door unannounced and started to get up to see what was happening. Within 3 seconds, she was dead. 3 seconds. The young lady happened to be black. I know you've all listened to the news from time to time. I don't know what is inherent about being black that so threatens the police. I don't know what else to say about that. On a happier note, I had to mention that. I just had to. On a happier note, I talked with Pastor Karen several times, and we've been in communication a number of times since the last time I was here. And we had lunch together, and we talked, and she invited me to come and speak to you again. Some of you would remember that I came before. I'd have to say that the fact that she invited me back again so shows for her that she is an extraordinarily good judge of character. I'm going to talk to you this morning about first-time Christians. I don't know where all of you are in your Christian walk, but if you're a first-time Christian, or anywhere near being a first-time Christian, and even if you're an old-time Christian, I want to address you this morning. The first scripture I'm going to talk about is a scripture written by Paul to a church at Corinth, one of the churches that he started. And here's what he has to say. He says, "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready." How many of you know what it's like to have an infant around? And infants do grow, but when they first come into our lives, they need milk. You can't feed them solid food. First of all, they don't have teeth. And even if you fed it to them, it would probably make them sick. Infants, just starting out in life, need milk. In the same way, Christians, just becoming Christians, and just beginning to grow in their path, in their walk toward righteousness, need milk, not solid food. That is the elemental basis of what Christianity is all about. I'm going to tell you a little story about something that kind of illustrates that point. How many of you have ever had the great pleasure of teaching someone to drive? If you haven't, then you were probably taught at some point too, right? I've had the pleasure of being taught to drive, and I don't know that I'd call it a pleasure of teaching one of my daughters to drive, but it was kind of like 19 nervous breakdowns for me. But I started with her this way. I took her out to a large parking lot. And I said, okay, first thing I want you to do is sit behind the wheel. Then I showed her, I said, I need you to locate certain things. Here is the accelerator, and here is the brake pedal. Put special emphasis on the brake pedal. Then I showed her how to adjust the seat so that she was comfortable sitting there. And then the mirrors so she could see what was around her. And then I told her, put both hands on the steering wheel. And we were in a large empty parking lot, so there wasn't anything for her to run into, hopefully. So I said, now mash the gas gently. And she did, holding on to the steering wheel, and we went down the parking lot to the other end of the parking lot. I said, okay. Now turn around slowly and let's go up where you came from. And we went up to the end where we came from. Very simple, very elementary. Once she kind of got the hang of going back and forth, then we progressed a little bit. We started driving a little bit through the neighborhood, very slowly, very quiet streets. She wasn't ready to get out on I-35. And she might have thought she was after the first lesson or two, but she was a long way from it. She was, in effect, in that endeavor, an infant. I gave her milk, not solid food. Driving can be a really good experience. Sometimes just riding in a car can be an exceptional experience. And I'm going to tell you this so you'll understand the difference between the milk that I was giving my daughter in the beginning and what happens when you really get to solid food. In this case, it was a steak. I don't know how many of you know about a racetrack called Talladega. Any of you ever been there? One year, my wife decided to give me a present, and it was because My daughter was going to school in Alabama. She was going to Tuskegee. For some of you, you got to represent every once in a while. And we went up to Talladega. And I had a chance to ride in a race car. I don't know if any of you have ever done that before, but I had this opportunity. You put on this, I don't know if it's fireproof, or it's some type of suit you put on. And you have to climb in through the window. Now, I didn't get to drive. There was a professional driver there. But he looked over at me and he said, "Are you ready?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Okay." So he took off around the bottom of the racetrack, just going maybe 40 or 50 miles an hour. When we got away from the entry point, he looked at me and he asked me again. He said, "You ready?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Okay." And he shifted and hit the gas. Man, that car took off. Zoom. He went up to the top of the track, and as we rounded this curve, he came down to the bottom. I mean, it just kind of sucks you down in the seat like a roller coaster. And then he went down the backstretch. Now, I'm in the passenger seat. I'm right against the rail. He's doing 175 miles an hour. Where driving is concerned, that was steak. I thought that I would do better if I drove the next time. It's probably a good thing that I didn't. When I got out, all I could think was, how soon can we do this again? I like that. But as I said, you know, I started my daughter off with milk. The same way we all should start our walk with Christ. We get milk, not solid food. You start with the fundamentals. Christ died. He was buried. He rose again. He'll come back. Fundamental things. Paul is telling the church at Corinth, they need fundamentals before they can progress on. Fundamentals. He considered them infants in Christ. So they needed milk and not solid food. The next scripture I'm going to talk to you about is from the book of Hebrews. Now, your Bible will tell you that the writer of Hebrews is unknown, and you can ascribe it to any number of people. I tend to think Paul had a little bit to do with this, and once I read this to you, maybe you'll see that. Here's what it says in Hebrews 5, verses 11 to 14. It says, and here the writer before this had been talking about some spiritual matters. And he says, "We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn." A little slow to learn. In other words, you're a little hard-headed. "In fact, though by this time, you ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you the elemental truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." He said, by now, they should have known enough to be teachers themselves. but they didn't. If they needed to go back and have somebody teach them again the fundamentals of God's righteousness. I'm going to tell you a little story, and some of you might have heard this before because I've used it for a number of illustrations, but I find it appropriate for this one too. So if you've heard it before, just bear with me. When I was a little bit younger, going through school, we used to take tests to see where our aptitudes were. We called them scholastic aptitude tests. That's what we used to call it. Now, I know it's been shortened to SATs and something else altogether by now. Because when I took those tests, I always scored my highest potential in math and science. So I somehow got the idea that I was pretty good in math. That's what I thought. So I kind of stopped studying as hard in math as I should have been. After I graduated from high school, I went off to college. And I was taking a course in calculus. Any of you mathematicians, you've taken calculus before? Some of you have. And I was kind of bumping right along, thinking, you know, I got this, there's no problem. About halfway through the semester, the instructor called me in for a little conference. And he said, "You know what? You've got a problem." And I said, "Me? I'm good in math." He said, "Well, you don't have a problem with calculus. You work calculus just fine. Your problem is you don't know algebra." And I said, "What?" And he said, "You don't know algebra." He said, "Every mistake you make is on an algebraic function." I said, "I took algebra back in high school." He said, "Yeah, but you didn't learn it." He said, "Next semester, you need to take a remedial course in algebra." Any of you ever take that course, college algebra? You remember seeing that? Of course, I thought he was wrong, but I did take the course. And he was right. I see it clearly now. At the time, I didn't think that it was very clear, but now I know he was right. I hadn't learned some of the elementary things that I should have learned before taking more advanced mathematics. For us as Christians, sometimes we do that same thing. We're in a situation where we think we've learned the basics and we start trying to go off and do something more complicated and we start making mistakes. In my case, in math, somebody called it to my attention. "Hey, you need to go back and learn these elementary things first." In this case, in Hebrew, the writer is calling people's attention to the fact that you should have been teaching this course by now, but you are not. And the reason you are not is because you didn't learn the elementary things. Now you need somebody to come back and teach you the elementary things. That's what he says. He said, "In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food." first-time Christians, or those who are new to Christianity, need milk. The very basis of the belief we all have. Not the solid food over here, but the milk that will get them started on a solid foundation. The third scripture we have this morning, it's also written by Paul. Paul wrote it while he was in prison. And he was writing to a young man that he thought of as being close to a son. His name is Timothy. Now, Timothy had traveled with Paul in some of the places he had gone. He had seen some of the things that Paul had been through. He saw Paul suffer. He saw Paul being sought after, people trying to kill him. You know, at one time there were 30 people sent after Paul that swore that they would never rest until Paul was dead. The Bible doesn't address what happens to them, but it addressed Paul later on. Here's what Paul had to say to Timothy. It's in 2 Timothy 3, verses 12 to 14. He says, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." You will be persecuted. "While evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know from whom you learned it." I think the lesson here is that once you declare yourself to want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, you can expect some attacks. If you haven't received those attacks at this point, just keep living. You will be attacked. Now you say, how do I know this is going to happen? So I know temptations are going to be thrown in front of you. I know some things are going to happen either in your personal life, in your business life, somewhere around you, that are going to tempt you to do something that you shouldn't do. Now, how can I be so sure? Because I've been through that. And I read my Bible. And the Bible is replete with stories of people who were tempted. And in some cases, were unable to resist those temptations. You look at Adam and Eve. They were told everything was good, but don't eat anything off this tree. And what did they do? They ate off that tree. What any kid would do when you tell them to stay away from it. Look at David, a man after God's own heart. Once he got to be king, he did something that he shouldn't have done. I'm not going to go into all of the things that happened, but he was standing in his window one night, and he looked out and saw a young lady taking a bath. Her name was Bathsheba. He sent people to get her, to bring her to him, and then reassigned her husband to the front lines of battle so that he could get killed. Look at Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You think he was ever tempted? As soon as he declared his ministry, what happened? Satan took him out into the wilderness and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world. And he said, "I'll give you all of these if you bow down and do one act of worship to me." Didn't he tell him? And what did Jesus say to Satan? He knew the difference between right and wrong. And certainly if anybody was eating steak, he was. He said, the line that is in some Bibles, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Or as I like to think that he probably said, "Kiss my no." He knew the truth. He knew who Satan was. He knew what he was about. And if you don't think Satan is alive and running around tempting people, and as he says here, when Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "You will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." You think that's going on today? If you don't, just look at what's happening in Washington, D.C. How many of you know what street this church is on? Anybody? Most of you know? What? South First Street? Suppose you were coming to this church and someone told you, "Don't go down South First. Go down Manshack." Would you do it? You know, if you hesitate to answer that, then you might go down Manshack. You're going to go an awful long ways down Manshack trying to get to this church. And I suspect you will never make it. Once you know the truth, you know the church is not on Manshack. Once you know the truth will set you free. And you follow that truth. And what did Paul say? "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know who is telling it to you." See, Timothy had watched Paul go through all those things. He watched him being persecuted. He watched him being thrown into prison. He watched people trying to kill him. He watched when Paul was bitten by a poisonous snake and survived. Paul, at this point, had sent Timothy over to Ephesus, one of the churches he had started, to continue to instruct them. Timothy, the young man, Paul was, for lack of a better term, his mentor. But he knew what Paul had told him was right. Just like all of you knew when whoever taught you to drive, if you did the things they told you, you would be okay. Isn't that right? You knew they were telling you good things to do. They weren't trying to lead you astray because they were in the car with you. And if you went astray, not good for either of you. I followed the instructions of my instructor because I was too hard-headed the first time through to study algebra. He knew what the signs were. He could look at the mistakes I was making. He could tell, "Hey, you need to go back and take a remedial course in algebra." My daughter once gave me a Father's Day card, and it read something like this on the outside. It said, "Father, you've given me tons of good advice over the years. And when I opened it up, it said, but I wasn't listening in the first time. Would you mind repeating it? All of us from time to time need to be reminded of what it is we need to be doing. We're all on this walk together. This is our walk of righteousness. We're all on this walk. We're all trying to head in the same direction toward the same goal. Now, I admit sometimes some of us straggle on the back and maybe get a little sidetracked. But that doesn't mean you can't get back on the right road and keep going. First-time Christians, people early in their walk, drink the milk first. Prepare yourself for the solid food. Let's close with a prayer. Father in heaven, here we are, your servants, reaching out for your hand, asking for your guidance, for your strength, for your grace and mercy, because we are weak and you are strong. Keep us on the right path. Forgive us our human weaknesses, and we'll always give you praise and glory forever. Amen.